Last Sunday, I closed with the chorus from a famous song. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I could be. I spoke last Sunday about taking your full inheritance in Christ Jesus. And I spoke to you about the destiny God has planned for you, for each Christian, to walk in victorious and living empowered lives through His promises. I remind you, it is not just to be liberated from the slavery of Egypt, but it is to walk in the promised land, in the promises of God. So many Christians become saved, and that's all there is to it. They become semi or quasi religious. But this is not God's intent. Many Christians wander in the desert in a life of detours, believing this is all there is to it. A monotonous, cold religious trek with many pitfalls, failures, and general uninspired, unempowered, unfulfilled spiritual existences. Your destiny, though, is that every Christian is to walk in the presence of and the power of the Holy Ghost in total fulfillment of His destiny for you. However, most Christians settle for less. I want to talk about detours today, good and bad, which you encounter in your journey as a Christian, which helps you as you go through life to find the promised destiny that God has for you. We don't like to talk about detours. Most of us can't stand detours. But detours are that helps us get to our destiny. Dr. Tony Evans, pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, says this about destiny. Destiny is the customized life calling for which God has equipped and ordained us in order to bring Him the greatest glory and the maximum expansion of His kingdom. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by His name, who is created for my glory, whom I formed and made. It is our destiny to bring glory to the name of the living God. I think many Christians have skewed views of what God's destiny is for them. He has gifted me to be a plumber, and so my destiny in life is to be a plumber. He gifts me to be an artist, and therefore my life is to be an artist for the Lord. And somehow through this work, I give back to God because He has gifted me. But this is not where He wants us. He wants us that in everything we do and say to bring glory to His name. That all that we do and say is glorifying the kingdom. And if it's not glorifying the kingdom, then He wants to give us something or direct us in some way to where our lives is glorifying the kingdom. And when they glorify the kingdom, He wants to make sure it glorifies the kingdom even more. And in the midst of some of the greatest moments in our lives, when we find ourselves being blessed and God is moving, He gives us a detour and we say, why, Lord, why? Because He wants greater and greater glory to come to He and His kingdom, which causes us to be humbled and causes us to flourish. There is a question I have. Is your life truly bringing the greatest glory to the name of the living God through Jesus Christ right now? For that is why you were created, and that's why you were recreated in Christ Jesus. But how that destiny is fulfilled is the journey we find ourselves on right now. Someone says, I stay on track with Jesus. Well, my question to them would be, how do you do that? Has anybody here perfected the art of staying on track with Jesus? I can't. I have not yet fulfilled that perfection. The children of Israel didn't know. Abraham didn't know. Peter didn't know. Jacob certainly didn't know. Martin Luther didn't know. David didn't know. Joseph didn't know. But God used detours to put them or to direct them to the right paths to fulfill their destiny. Detours are how God uses His will to be accomplished. You see, detours are like delays that sort of get us off of our own track and get us back on His track. And whenever we get knocked off our track, we get upset. How many of you have ever been on a detour? Do you love it? Isn't it great? We went down to Charlotte to see my daughter last weekend, as I told you. And while we were down there, we saw the road coming back north on I-85. And we said, we're not doing that, because they were completely stopped for mile after mile after mile after mile after mile. So we looked on a map and we found a detour of our own. And we took the detour. And we went through the Uwari National Forest on a two-lane road. And every small little town that there is with at least two lights, whether they need them or not. And it was a long trek. It was a long journey. It was out of the way. But actually, we were just glad to keep going. Detours are meant by God to redirect us. I'd like for you to look in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. And I put detours up here beside sufferings. Because we know that suffering, detours, produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Detours are usually disappointments to most of us. Disappointments initially. But as we go along, it produces in us what God wants to produce, and we begin to see how God used that disappointment, that delay, that diversion to give us hope. Hope that will not disappoint. You see, most of us are going on a track that the hopes that we have are going to be a disappointment. But the track that God puts us back on, the direction that God leads us to, will keep us in a path that will not disappoint us, that will not bring disappointments. This past week, one of the ladies at our school, her contract was not being renewed, and she's been there 10 years, I think, and she was a little in shock that she was not coming back, and part of it is, different things. She isn't guilty of anything. It's just they just couldn't extend her contract back, and so she was talking and she said, I am looking forward to this because I know that God has a greater plan for me. Not that this wasn't a part of his good plan, but that he had a greater plans for me. And I heard yesterday that she had been extended a job. And that was only 2 to 3 days after she had told me that. God had a plan. But his plan was to take her in a new direction. And she understood that. And she was confident in that. Had she not had the spirit, this is what I really believe. Had she not had the spirit that this is okay, this is a part of God's plan and I accept it and that's what I'm going to do, she would not have had that job prepared when it was. Why? Because until she got to the point that God could use her, God, the plan, the divergence, the detour was not working. When God saw that it was working and what he had done was working, then at that point he could go ahead and get her a job. And she accepted it pretty quickly. Detours are trials or tests to prepare us, to tune us up, to relieve us of burdens, shape us, recharge us, and make us ready to embrace trials and tests in the future and to prepare us for the many times ahead and the places we need to go. How many times do you remember? Now, I asked these kids this a few minutes ago, and they all raised their hands. But my kids at my school don't look forward to exams. How about you college kids? Y'all look forward to exams? I don't either. And I never look forward to exams. I remember one of my daughters was really bad at exams. She was actually pretty good at taking, you know, all semester long. Then she got to exams and she would bomb them. She could not take major tests. Something about it just floored her. And then she went in and took SATs and didn't do well in that. So she was rejected at the college she wanted to go to, which was Coastal Carolina University, and it was based on her SAT score. And I got on the phone, and we called Coastal Carolina, and a young lady answered the phone, and she was in the office of admissions. She said, "I'm not the office admissions officer, but I know who that is." And she said, "What do you need?" And we said, "I want you to go back and check her records in school, see what she did, look at her overall test grades and overall grades in her school, and then evaluate it from that point. I know she didn't do well on her SATs, but she really struggles with that." And so she said, "I will tell the admissions officer." She walked into the room where they were meeting, and they were talking about different students who were on the edge and she talked to her about that. They pulled my daughter's records up, and they reversed the rejection and said they would accept her. And they didn't even accept her on probation. They just accepted her. And she graduated in 4 years, which is better than me. And she did, she went to work right away and had a job. I was very proud of her accomplishments at Coastal Carolina. Her first two semesters, she was on the dean's list, even with a broken leg. So I think back upon the times when we are challenged, and some of us like to take tests and others don't. Most of us don't. And we certainly don't like the test that God sends us. There are good detours, though, and bad detours. Detours God has planned for us to grow us up and prepare us. Detours we take, and God allows us to take, that take us away from his plans, and then God has a detour to our detour to get us back on track. Good detours are for us to grow, whether we're growing or on track or not. In John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That's something hard for me to understand at times. Whenever I am moving and God is blessing me and I am seeing things happen, and then he prunes me or he takes me on a detour. Why, Lord? I'll never forget when I was volleyball coach at Crescent, and I was there 4 years as volleyball coach. In the first year, we won the state championship. The second year, we won the state championship, conference both years. And then the third year, we lost the won the conference, lost the state, and then went on to win the national championship. My final year as coach, we came in first place, runner-up to state champion. And in the midst of that good run, I was hacked. I was told to step down and take JV. We want you to take JV, because the principal wanted to coach, and his daughter was on the team, and he wanted to coach her. That was hard for me. As a matter of fact, I am like many of you. I pitched a fit. Why? You know, if I was doing bad or if I was guilty of something, what? Well, I just feel like, you know, if I coach, I could help my daughter, help the team better. He was talking about his daughter. There was a period of time I didn't even go to games, varsity games. I coached the JV games. And my wife said, why? And I said, because I don't want a bad attitude. And she said, well, you already got one. I said, true. And it was a while before I understood what God was doing. God was saying, I want you to have focus in a different area. You're too spread out. At that time, I had too many different directions at the school, and that was one that took a lot of time. And he took that away from me to give me a different focus, and my focus was to do more Bible studies and at the school, and to have more teaching opportunities in Bible. I at the time did not understand it. But God prunes us in the midst sometimes of great successes, or he prunes us when we're doing well. That's hard for us to accept, but it's the way God works. When you think about it, I was thinking of someone in the Bible, and Joseph came to mind. Joseph was a young man who was the youngest, and he was well thought of by all the brothers. He was not well thought of by the brothers, because he was so well thought of by his father and his mother. They loved him to death. His father put the coat of many colors on Joseph. And Joseph was very gifted and was a dreamer. And he would tell his brothers dreams of them bowing down to him. Well, that made his brothers happy. They threw a fit. They eventually threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. And then when Joseph got to Egypt, you remember what happened there. He was accused of something he didn't do and was thrown into prison. All this while, Joseph remained faithful to God, but God was preparing Joseph. God was doing something with Joseph that could not have been done any other way. And so what appeared to be evil was not. It was as if God was taking what seemed to be bad and was making good. Genesis 50, 19 through 20, Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I think back about the detours in my life. and how God used those. There were other times in my life, one time where I lost everything I had, everything I owned, and I was going, Father, what have I done wrong? What am I doing wrong? And it wasn't that. It was that God wanted me on a higher plane, going in a different direction. And God is more intent on taking us to where we are fulfilling our destiny. And what is our destiny? Let me remind you, to bring glory to the kingdom of God. And if where I am is not bringing glory to the kingdom, I don't care how successful I am, or if it's not bringing all the glory it could, then God is going to send a test. He's going to send a detour and take me to a new place. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Detours are to make us great in God's kingdom. Johnny Erickson was a young teen. She was swimming during the summer at their parents' lake house, and there was a floating dock out in the water, and she jumped off that floating dock and hit her head on the bottom of the lake, and it broke her neck, and she was paralyzed from her neck down. She was a quadriplegic. She at first was upset and angry, but soon she began to say, if this is God's will, if I am to stay this way the rest of my life, then I want it to be a testimony of God's grace. And many of you know, Johnny Erickson had to do everything by mouth. She also became an artist, and she painted with her teeth, the brush in her teeth, and had painted some absolutely gorgeous, beautiful paintings. She has become an inspiration to many. She has spoken many places all over the world, and I heard her speak, and she supercharged me, because whenever I'm complaining about my penny-ante little mess that I'm in, and then I see what she is not complaining about, it makes me embarrassed. And so I remember her testimony, and I realized God used one of the most beautiful young ladies to transform many people in the world through a divergence, a detour that was painful. God is like the refiner, and he puts us in the refiner's fire to cleanse us and make us a kingdom jewel which brings glory to God. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 through 9. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, 1/3 shall be left alive, and I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, this Lord is my God. Tim Tebow was a Florida quarterback. He won the Heisman Trophy and was flying high. Everybody in Florida praised him, glorified him, and thought he was the greatest thing. Most of you know that Tim Tebow, if it had been up to the doctors, would not even be here, because the doctors, in looking at a scan, CT scan, told his parents that they needed to abort the child because he was not developing right. Tim Tebow's mother said, I am a servant of God, both of them missionaries in a foreign country. How can we abort what God has created? And they had that child. And that child won a national championship and became a Heisman Trophy winner. How many aborted children have we lost greatness from? For you see, I believe every child of God has a destiny, as Tim Tebow. But Tim Tebow came out of college, and when he left college, he went into the professional ranks, and nobody liked him there. I mean, I'd never seen anybody who was so ridiculed and abused. For why? Because he was open with his testimony about Jesus Christ. ESPN and Sports Illustrated did stories on him that would make you sick. They hated him because he was open with his Christian testimony. I remember how they said he is not qualified to be a professional quarterback, and he was just lucky to be a part of a good team, and that's why he won the Heisman Trophy. Tim Tebow left the professional ranks of football, and now he's in baseball. He was an announcer for a while, and now he's with baseball, and he is a minor league player in Columbia, South Carolina, at their minor league team there. And Tim Tebow is in the papers nearly every day. I get their paper from Columbia because that's where I came from, and online. And I'm amazed at how the people there have just fallen in love with Tim Tebow. Why? Because of his Christian commitment. God took him through a real painstaking process. Took him through some major detours in the midst of the height of his career. God does that, don't you know? Because to bring glory to God, he must take us through detours. As I said, God is moving us to our destiny. Before we get there, though, he will take us on many unexpected detours. They will either make you bitter or they will make you better. You choose. The children of Israel, standing at the very precipice of God's great promises, became bitter and cried out, "Why, God, did you bring us here to face giants who will kill us like sheep, who will slaughter us by the thousands? No, we will not go into this land. We will go where we want to go." And they wandered, as some people wander, in the desert for many years, 40 years, when only a handful were left, Joshua, Caleb, and his families. They were allowed to enter the promised land, and they chose to go in. You remember what Joshua said, "Because God has promised, we will go in." He stood on the promises of God, not on the giants. And when we're following God, we do not look at the detours. We look at where God is taking us. Sometimes Christians look at the detours more than they look at where they're going. They focus on the, "Why am I going down this road? Lord, why are you taking me here? Why do I have to go here, Lord?" And they're focused on the detour more than they're focused on the glory of God, which is where he's taking you. Recognizing that God's promises will be fulfilled in you, as I said last Sunday. Worship is a time where we come before God and the worshiper meets, the winnowing takes place, and we are one with God. And we many times are meet God, and God does a transforming power on us. You know, I'm convinced a lot of people don't come to church because of that. Because whenever they come to church, they come in the presence of God, and it is a terrifying thing that happens to them, and they can't stand it. So they walk away. Terrifying things, until we get right with God, will continue to happen whether you're in worship or not. But truly in worship, God does some terrifying things in our hearts because he begins to show us places where he's wanting to take us, and we're going, "I don't want to go there." Have you ever had one of those days where you go, there? I don't want to go there. I remember my mother said, she prayed to God, I will do anything you want me to do in life. Anything. Just don't let me be a pastor's wife. And she became that for 42 years. Now, when she married the young man, he was not a minister. So she felt safe. As a matter of fact, he was Catholic. That's as far from Baptist in the Christian faith she felt like. But God saved him and brought him into the Baptist church, and he became a Baptist minister. The very thing she said, no, God. How many times have we been at the very door of greatness and God has said, I don't want you to go there, I want you to go here. And we go, I don't want to go there. We're getting ready to go here. He wants us to go in places where he will take us that will bring the greatest amount of glory. And where is the greatest amount of glory? Let me tell you, yesterday we had a speaker at Crescent Christian Academy's graduation, and he said, 20 years ago, I was where you students are. I was sitting there going, get me out of this place. I am so tired of this school. I just want to get out. And if I ever get out, God, I promise you, I will never come back again. And he says, guess what? Here I am. As a matter of fact, he's been called as the youth pastor of that church at Crescent Christian Academy. And by the way, he and I are working together on a group that's coming the 21st of June, and they're going to do a concert over at Crescent in the gym, and he and I are working, and I saw him for the first time, and I said, looking forward to this. And as we talked, I realized that this young man got a lot from the school, but he had planned to never return to that school. And now here he is, a youth minister in the church that supports that school, and he's speaking at graduation 20 years later. Some of the things that we look at and we say, I will not do that again. I will not go there. I do not plan on doing that. God says, guess what? You're going there. And we say, no, God, no. You see, first, God is holy. And when we begin to realize God is holy, the second thing is that God is good. And then the third thing is God loves each of us and gave us His Son to die for us. The fourth one is we are called to follow God and live out our lives in His presence and in His direction. And the fifth is God will not let us remain where we are. He's constantly taking us to places of new challenge and new purpose. God is not in the business of us becoming comfortable. Comfortable Christianity is the scourge of America. God doesn't want that. God is in the business of taking us to places we don't want to go and have never been. These detours are the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. God will test us to bring us to Him. If we are away from God doing our own thing, as the children of Israel were for 40 years in the desert, He wants to bring us into His destiny for us. He will let us be tested greatly till we turn. The testing is usually a great detour in our lives, and many times it is in great loss or great moments of pain or in a moment of transition or in a moment of moving into areas that makes us most uncomfortable or to be with people we are prejudiced against or to take everything away from us, as in my case, and start all over again. But he will not leave us wandering. If you're a servant of God, he will not leave you wandering. He will take you from your own wanderings into a detour that will put you where he wants you to be. Luke never knew when he turned on that computer that day that he was getting ready for a big detour. That's how quick detours come, too. My daughter is moving to Connecticut, and this thing has been hard for her. She is what you would call a true Southern Belle. I mean, she likes everything about the South. She likes, and she has her daughter out at the, her little girl out at the pool every day, and she loves the sunshine. She loves, and her husband gets a job in Connecticut in a place where they don't see sunshine very much. I think it's like 100 days a year they see sunshine there. And it's cold, and there's cold winters, and it's not the South. And she's going, but I want to be with my husband. I know that's right, and I know God honors that, and I want to be where God wants me to be. But I got to get a word from God that I know that I'm, and I need to have a strong desire to leave here. It's very hard. I love Rock Hill, South Carolina. I think it's the greatest place to be there. I love Rock Hill. I want to stay. But I want to know this is where God wants me to go. I want to know, God, how do I cut the ties here? How do I leave? It's so hard. I got so many friends here now. And God is saying, I got a place for you to go. How do I do that, God? I'm having to leave my family. I'm within an hour of my hometown, and I'm with a short distance of my mother, and my father's not far, and we're just, Lord, help me. She's within a week of moving. Now, some of you heard about the Uber driver that was killed in Charlotte. Last Saturday, I was in Charlotte last Saturday. I was in Rock Hill last Saturday with my daughter, who's moving to Connecticut. And she's still struggling with this. And then we heard about the Uber driver. My daughter said, Daddy, you drive Uber sometimes. You be careful. She was concerned about me. On Thursday, my daughter woke to helicopters buzzing her house. FBI cars parked out front of her house. State Bureau of Investigation and FBI agents walking through her yard. And suddenly this beautiful place that she has loved became eerie and cold. You see, they were looking for the body of this man who had been killed. And in the woods back behind where she lives, they found the body. She's ready to go to Connecticut. Now, I want you to know, and I want to be careful you understand, I don't believe God caused these men to kill this Uber driver. And I don't believe that God calls these men to put that person in the woods half a mile behind her house. But God did use the FBI and the helicopters and everything else to let her know. Let me tell you something. This is what I think she got out of it. Let me tell you something. If I take you somewhere, I will take care of you no matter where it is. But if you're out of the will of God, the greatest place in the play on the earth is not the best place to be. The detours I take you on is because I love you and I care for you, and you can't see it right now, but it's the best place for you to be. So in the midst of your lives, when God is sitting there saying, all right, stop, you're going in this direction, and you go, I don't want to go, be reminded, God has prepared a place for you, and He's not through with you yet. Joshua chapter 6. And the, you know, when we get a detour, you know, this is the way we should respond. Thank you, God, that you care enough about me that in spite of my kicking and screaming, you're dragging me to where I need to go. When it's time for us to move, whether it's a disciplinary move to change our hearts or a refiner's move to make us more pure and more holy and usable for His kingdom, you'd better move. To stay is treacherous, but to move is stepping into His great favor, which leads to our destiny. Father, we're like children. Children who don't like to do new things. And when we get a detour, it's like taking a child to the dentist. Lord, we don't want to go. But Lord, we know and are sure that your will for us is a blessed will and a blessed day and a blessed direction. And I pray and ask that we might truly worship you with an attitude of surrender and to move as you lead us with a kind and loving and forgiving heart. And it's in the name of Jesus that we plead this. In Christ's name. This morning, as we come to our invitation and as we think, what is God saying? Because that's ultimately why we're here. What is God trying to say in my heart? I cannot say for you. I can only say that you might be facing a detour soon, or you might have already just had a detour and you're trying to figure it out. Let me let you know, God loves you and really is planning for your best. This morning, I just pray that you would go ahead and submit to Him and say, all right, whatever your will, I will follow. And as we sing together, my faith has found a resting place, hymn number 412. Let your faith in Him grow. And the scripture said earlier, a hope that will not let you down. He wants to build that into you. So as we stand to sing, let Christ put that in you right now.